love of God. It's inexhaustible. Amen. Go ahead, take your Bibles tonight, Matthew chapter 5. I want to bring you a brief message tonight before our missions prayer van. And I want to encourage you not to miss a service, especially one of the most important things we could do is to pray, of course, for our meetings, to pray, of course, for the will of God in our lives, but just to pray, of course, for these missionaries. And I know they need our support, but the greatest thing that we could do for them is to pray for them. And we need to lift them up. And I was talking to someone just briefly and encouraged them. I said, be a prayer warrior. And listen, when we're praying, that's battle. Amen. You're wrestling. And I tell you, you ever gone to prayer and it seems like the devil's just constantly distracting you? That's because it's a battle. It's a fight. But thank God we could prevail with the Lord's help in prayer. And thank God we could come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to preach a simple message tonight that I've entitled, Let Your Light So Shine. And I'm going to start here in verses 14 through 16. We'll be back here, but we're going to jump to Genesis in just a second. But let's go ahead and read these three verses, and then we'll pray. And I pray that this message will be an encouragement to you tonight. The Bible says, as Jesus is preaching his Sermon on the Mount, he says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lord God, I just pray tonight that, Lord, you'd meet with us in these next few moments. And Father God, thank you for the work that you've given us to do. What a privilege, but what a responsibility. I just pray that you would continue to help us. Help us to sense the urgency of the hour, Lord God, spiritually. And Father, I pray that we would shine, Lord, to those about us, and that you would be glorified as many, Lord willing, come to trust Christ as their Savior. Help us to be faithful with the gospel you've entrusted us with. Lord, please, may our time not be in vain tonight. Do a work in our hearts and lives that is for your glory and yours alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and hold your place there and turn back to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings there in Genesis chapter 1. Now, light is amazing. Light is amazing. We are taking advantage of lights tonight. Of course, we take for granted, you know, all the times that, of course, we have electricity and lights in the house. I mean, every morning we wake up, you know, we get to behold the sun. Amen. And things along those lines at night. We get to look up many times and see the moon and the stars that God has created and ordained for times and seasons and all those things. It's just wonderful, but light is amazing. And here in the book of Genesis, you see the account of creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, when God created light, he knew, amen, that we needed light. But God calls light good. And there's a definite distinction, as you see here in Genesis, between light and darkness. There's not only a distinction, but a great division that God creates between light and darkness. Now, go down to verse 14, and I want you to pay special attention to this because we're going to apply this in a spiritual sense as we look at our verses tonight. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And so you think about not only God creating light, amen, in the very beginning, but of course he created the sun, the greater light to rule the day. He created the moon, the lesser light to rule the night, of course, and the stars. But you see once again a division, amen, between light and darkness, day and night. But what I want you to catch here, when God said, let there be lights, between the greater light and the lesser light, he's talking about both those lights. And in verse 15, he says he wanted them to give light upon the earth. Now you go down to verse 16. Of course, we know the greater light that rules the day is called the what? Help me out, sun. All right, just making sure you're awake tonight. And the lesser light is the moon. And he says the lesser light is to rule the night. And so we see the physical account of creation, but I want to make a spiritual application to this as we tie in to our verses tonight. Jesus Christ, amen, God is light, amen? And in him is no darkness at all. And we know when Jesus Christ came, as we're going to walk through some verses through the Gospels tonight, Jesus Christ came, he said, I am the light of the world. He is that greater light, amen? And when you think about it, we, amen, as we get saved and we give our lives to Christ, amen, we are those lesser lights. Now, when you think about that, amen, when you think about that lesser light, the moon is simply is something that reflects the light of the sun, amen? And that's exactly what we are supposed to do as believers. But we see that here, amen, that these lights, not only the sun, and we think about Jesus Christ, but we think about the moon, and we think about the lesser light and us as lesser lights. We are to give light upon the earth, amen, while we are here. And you think about it, we are to rule the night. How many of you would say this world is a pretty dark place? It's getting darker day by day, amen, day after day, week after week, month after month. And guess what? It's going to get darker. It's going to get worse until his glory is appearing, amen. When we think about this, 1 John 1:5, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. But I want you to turn, if you would, we'll go back to the New Testament and go to John chapter 9 there in the Gospels. John chapter 9. John chapter 9 and verse 5, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. Now, Jesus is that greater light. Now, go up to chapter 12. Chapter 12. And you go down to verse, let's go here, amen. Verse 35. Verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. He's referring to himself because he knew that he was ultimately heading to Calvary. And he would not literally be with them here on this earth forever. And he says, yet a little while is the light with you. And he says, walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, verse 36, he says, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. And so you think about it, saying, listen, while I'm here with you, while you have the light, you need to believe in the light. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, is what he was telling those folks, so that you can be the children of light. Now let me give you this. Ephesians 5:8, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. So when you think about it tonight as believers, as born-again Christians tonight, those that have placed their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and his shed blood, plus or minus nothing, amen, you think about that, we're light in the Lord. He is our light. And we're light in the Lord, and we're to walk as children of the light. You remember when you walked in darkness, amen, when you were lost and undone, but thank God, how many glad you even got saved, amen? Praise the Lord. The Lord is not willing that any should perish. But he goes on to say, remember he said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, right here in our text, he says in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. We are those lesser lights. And I want you to go over to John. We'll look at a couple more verses before we get right back to our text. John chapter 1. Now we're going to read, of course, about Jesus Christ, but we're also going to read about John the Baptist. And I want you to get the idea, of course, Jesus Christ being the light, capital L, as we're going to see. And John the Baptist, of course, was a lesser light. He was sent to bear witness of that light. And you see here in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that's referring to Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now here we're going to get into John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. You notice that's a capital L. It's referring to Jesus Christ. That all men through him might believe. Now he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So you see that Jesus Christ is the greater light. And we know that according to the text, John 5 and verse 35 talks about John the Baptist. And get this, this is what it says. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. So he was a burning and a shining light. So you have the greater light, Jesus Christ, and you have the lesser light, those that are his children. And we are to give light upon this earth, and we are to rule the night. And so that's where I got this whole idea, as you see in Ephesians 5, with God's help, or Matthew 5, excuse me, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now, if there's one thing that's true about light, it's pleasant. It's pleasant. How many enjoy seeing the sun? Amen. The stars, the moon, especially some of those sunsets that God paints. And almost, I mean, you can't do it justice with watercolors. Amen. And you think about that. Just God has created the light. And, of course, how light reflects and refracts, if I could even say that right. But we know in Genesis 1, in that account in verse 4, God saw the light that it was good. And light is a good thing. Ecclesiastes tells us in Ecclesiastes 11:7, it says, truly the light is sweet. And it says, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. That's how sweet light is. Amen. We get up, we enjoy it, we take it for granted many times. But light is precious. We know light is sweet. Light can be seen. Light can be felt. It's amazing that you ever seen, and maybe you know somebody that's blind, and they wear dark glasses. Do you know they do that because they even can sense the light? Amen. And you think about that. Light enables us to see. Light can be felt. Light creates warmth. A lot of times we get around the sun. I mean, we want to get out in the sun on a cold day just to get a little warmer because of the rays of the sun. And we think about that. It gives life as well. And so light is a pleasant thing. It definitely is sweet. Something that we take for granted. And I just want to say this as little lights, I pray that as believers, I pray that we are kind. I pray that we're gracious. I pray that we're loving. I pray that, amen, all these things. And it gets into this before this, that you're the salt of the earth. And I pray that we're all this and then some to the glory of God. But I pray, amen, that we as a light, a little light, are pleasant. There's a lot of Christians I've met that aren't too pleasant to be around. Can I say we ought to be pleasant, be a good testimony? Matthew 5, I want you to know it's personal. This light is personal. All of us that name the name of Christ here tonight are to be little lights. Ye are the light of the world. Verse 14, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And I want you to notice that. We're likened unto a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And then it says, let your light so shine before men. Your light. Is your light shining? I want you to think about that. You've heard me say it time and time again from 2 Corinthians 4. I think it is verse 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen, a lot of times we're not letting our light shine, and we need to take that personally, because God, amen, holds us all accountable. And all of us as his children, or walk as children of light, we're to shine for his glory. Let your light so shine. We need to take that personally. Ephesians 5:8, I read this earlier, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is our light and our salvation. He's our light. And I want to encourage you, do folks see your light? Do folks feel, amen, the warmth of that light? Amen. Is it a pleasant thing for them? Our light is not to be hidden. A city that is set on a what? A hill cannot be hid. Amen. And listen, we need to be, what's the word? We need to be very conspicuous, right? Is that what, the right word, or is it inconspicuous? Anyway, we're to be out there, amen, where everyone can see, amen, hopefully not us, but see Christ through us. Our light's not to be hidden. When you think about this, I want to give you a couple different applications here. A city that is set on a hill. Cities are usually what? Outdoors, right? You're driving through. Because I remember a lot of times we'd be driving from California through, you know, Nevada or Arizona, and depending on the city you go to in the middle of the night, out in the middle of the desert, it's just amazing. You come across, just a little rolling plain or somewhere, and all of a sudden you see the lights of a city. It's unmistakable. And that's how we are to be. We're to shine. We're like a city that is set on a hill, cannot be hid. And by the way, we need to shine, amen, outside, amen, the confines, like I said the other day, the confines of the church, the confines of our homes, amen, other things. We need to shine out there in this world. But then you think a candle. Usually folks take candles, and they burn those candles, and they have those lights in their homes. And I think about even indoors. So whether it's indoors or outdoors, our light is not to be hidden. Amen. We ought to be, as I preached, unashamed. And let me give you another application here tonight. In Matthew 5:15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. A bushel. And I'm going to have you turn to Luke chapter 8 and see this in another text here. Luke chapter 8. But a bushel was simply a basket. You've all heard of a bushel basket. A bushel is a unit of measurement, usually for dry goods. So a bushel basket was used to carry goods, and it was usually used for labor. Let me give you just a little application here, amen, as we think about it, speaking of labor. Sometimes folks are too busy to let their light shine. Now listen, I'm aware, and I know you're aware, that you can let your light shine at home, and you should. You can let your light shine at work, and you should. Amen. Let your light shine at church and so on and so forth. But I want you to think about this. There's some folks that are just so busy. Amen. And when I think about that, and really you boil it down to it, it's a lot of times it's about mammon. They're too busy to serve God. And so you think about this, they're not letting their light shine like God wants them to. Bushel represents labor. Then I want you to look at Luke 8, verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel and putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. And here's another application. A bed speaks of leisure, relaxation. Listen, I think all God's children, I enjoy relaxation. But listen, it's very possible for us just to get lazy and not let our light shine the way it should. Amen. So there's many different applications for this, but I think you get the idea that it's to be personal because it's your light. God is your light, and he wants you to shine, amen, for his glory. Then I want you to see it's powerful. It's powerful. In verse 16 of our text, let your light, it says, so shine. You know, I think about that word so is a word of emphasis. He doesn't just say shine. Just like John 3:16, for God, it doesn't say for God loved the world. It says, so loved, doesn't it? So he says, let your light so shine before men. You know, the amazing thing about light, you know, well, for one, darkness is the absence of light. But darkness alone cannot dispel light. And even the smallest amount of light, here's the amazing thing, can dispel darkness. And so God wants us to shine. You know, you think about this, not just to flicker. God doesn't want us to be dim. Can I say this? An inconsistent spiritual life. You're hit and miss. You're up, you're down. An inconsistent spiritual life is going to make your light very dim. Sin will make your light very dim. And listen, there's a lot of things that damage the testimony of a child of God, which ultimately brings reproach upon the one that saved you and me. And so we've got to be so careful, amen, that we shine the light of the glorious gospel of Christ so others can see it very clearly. Hold your place. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 15. Here Paul says to the Philippians, he says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And look at the next verse. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Think about it. He says you're to hold forth the word of life. You're to let your light shine among these folks in this world. Listen, amidst the crookedness and the perversion and the wickedness that's running rampant, listen, shine your light in this world. I was trying to think of an illustration. This is probably going to be a poor illustration. I didn't have a big enough flashlight. but maybe my son could help me here, at least endeavor to help me here. Maybe even a little bit. Turn off a few of these lights, just a little bit. Amen. All right. Let's see here. You get this front bank here? Maybe not. He's working on it. All right. Okay, now you can't really see this. This isn't too bright. Okay? It's getting dim. Why do you think it's getting dim? Help me out. Batteries. Okay? It's power source. Okay, now this one, and I know this isn't great, but okay. Here's the difference. See the difference? One's brighter than the other. It's a little bit fresher than the other one. All right. I know that's about the extent of my illustration. But let me give you this. When your light starts to get dim, it's because you need to either change the batteries. You can turn those lights back on. Sonny's going to endeavor to do that. You either need to change the batteries, or if you've got rechargeables, recharge the batteries, right? I mean, that light, before you know it, it's going to go out, and it's going to cease to shine. I mean, it's pretty pathetic. I mean, you ever done that work project? I've used these a lot of times. All of a sudden, I'm just sitting there like that. And I've got to switch out headlamps, or I've got to put new batteries in just to see what I'm doing. And I want you to think about this. 1 John chapter 1. We talked about inconsistencies, more importantly, sin that will dim our light. Amen. And tarnish the testimony of Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So God wants us, can I get an amen? God wants us to walk in the light. We're to walk as children of the light, which means we're to walk in the light too. And it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now here, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to think, if you will, you know, these batteries are getting dim. Your light's getting dim. You need to be recharged. And I want you to think of like a solar panel, amen, if you will, connected to your battery, amen. That solar panel needs what to charge? Light. Guess what we need to do? We need to spend time in the light of His countenance to recharge. We need to spend time in the light of God's Word to recharge. The problem and the reason I believe many times our witness is not what it should be, and we're not shining as we should and as brightly as we should, is because we're not spending enough time in the light of the sun, the greater light. So you see, this also is practical. Not only is that light to be powerful, so shine, but it says that they may see your good works. And now we know we don't do good works in order to be saved, but because we are saved. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But here's the thing. Amen. When you shine, shining, as you see in context of this, is doing these good works, these good things. Amen. And by the way, men should see us doing good works. Isn't that what it says? That they may see your good works. They're to be good, they're not to be evil. Very clear difference there, once again, between light and darkness. But can I say this tonight? The greater work for us, each of us, is to do the will of God. It's to do the will of God. John chapter 14. Just a couple minutes here, and we're gonna pray. John chapter 14. Just wanted to give you something simple tonight. John 14 and verse 12. Jesus says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. So it means we're going to be doing, amen, works just like Jesus was. Amen, if we believe on him. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So God not only says that, amen, we're going to do the same works that he does, but we're going to do greater works than he did, of course, through the Spirit of God. And so the greater work is to do the will of God. And you think, what did Jesus always went about doing good? The Bible says. Of course, we know he raised the dead. He cleansed the lepers. He made the blind eyes to see. Amen. Raised cripples up. Amen. Caused the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak and all those things. And listen, let me tell you what. God says through the Spirit of God in a spiritual sense that we're going to do greater works. And so if we're shining our light like we should, we're going to be out there telling others the glorious gospel. And when they get saved, guess what happens? The dead are raised to life. The blind can see. Amen. You think about, and you know, it just goes, the list goes on and on and on. And I think, you know, the greater work in doing this work, we ought to do that work at home, once again. We ought to do it at work, on the job. We ought to do it in the ministry. Amen. And we ought to just do this anywhere, whether it's inside or outside, like we talked about. But then, lastly, I want you to see it's praiseworthy. Because when men see your good works, it says God wants them to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And I believe, amen, when we're pleasing God, listen, if we have favor with God, God's going to give us many times favor with man. Men are going to see these works, and hopefully they're going to glorify, amen, our Father, which is in heaven, God the Father. Amen. And the greatest way that they could glorify him, of course, is by getting saved. But I want to share one verse with you. There's actually two verses in one text, and this is the last thing I got, I promise you. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. There's going to come a day of visitation. A day of visitation. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, there's a couple different applications for this. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 11. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." It says in verse 12, "Having your conversation," that's your lifestyle, "having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers," get this, "they may by your good works, which they shall behold," that means they're going to see them, "glorify God in the day of visitation." That means when he comes, amen, when you think about it, you know, when the Lord comes, he's going to be glorified, amen, on that day of visitation. But I believe also this could be when the Holy Spirit's knocking on their door. When God visits them at that day, at that appointment. We know now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. And we know God's Spirit is not always going to strive with man. But I think about this, listen, others should see our good works, and that should be an encouragement for them and a testimony to them to get saved. And so I think about these things tonight. Light is an amazing thing. And I really want to challenge you, you know, as we focus on Missions Month, you know, we often think, you know, man, just specifically on these missionaries going to these other countries or perhaps other states here in the United States of America, but we are missionaries too. And God expects our light to so shine, amen, in a powerful, a practical way, amen, that it can be seen, these good works can be seen among men, that ultimately, amen, those folks, amen, that see them can glorify God in the day of visitation. And they're not going to glorify God if they're not saved, I can tell you that. And so God wants to get the glory through it all. But I just want to challenge you. We're those lesser lights, much like the moon. And the moon, all it simply does is it reflects the light of the sun. And I enjoy, you ever look through the moon in a telescope? What, it's awesome. You see the stars and all those things. And we are those lesser lights. And we are to rule the night and the darkness, amen. Listen, I tell you what, the Bible talks about, amen, how God will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen, the devil may be temporarily the god of this world, but he's not in charge. Amen, God is. Amen. And even though it's dark all around us, listen, we could still shine, amen, and shine brightly for him. And once again, amen, darkness can't dispel the light, but even a little bit of light, you may be the only one in your little corner, but brighten the corner where you are. And that light will dispel that darkness. And so let your light so shine. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for our time tonight, and I just pray you'd be with us as we have a brief invitation time, and that you'd be with the remainder of the service tonight. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, just for saving our souls that very moment we believed. And Lord God, thank you that you are our light and our salvation. Help us to shine for thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand to our feet quietly. I don't think we're going to.